bringing communities together, diverse communities together. And I had the good pleasure of getting to play there last year. And actually, several of our performers are part of that event. Brian Bowers, Gus Johnson, Kate Toluga do the kids program up there. Sparky and Rhonda Rucker that'll be coming on later. So that's a great event. And if you get a chance or if you're from up that way, make sure you check out Common Ground on the Hill. As I started to say, Rod McDonald is a wonderful performer, was a real mover and shaker up in the Greenwich Village area for a long time, came down here in 1995 to make Florida his home, and he was inspired by what he found, both the asphalt and the wild places, I would say, and he started writing some songs about that. I forget now the title of the album, Into the Blue, is one that features a lot of Florida music. And I've always been real excited when Rod comes up. He usually rolls in early on a Sunday morning after doing a gig, and I get to spend maybe 5 minutes riding around in a golf cart with him. He's telling me what he's been writing, what he's been doing. And then if you're lucky, you can go to the campground and hear him sing some of his stuff in that venue there. As I said, Rod is a wonderful performer, and we're just thrilled to have him here for the first time on the amphitheater stage, but many times here at the Florida Folk Festival, Mr. Rod McDonald.
Thank you, John. A very nice intro, hey? How would you like to have to follow those guys? They're pretty good, huh? A lot of fun. Actually, we played together in Tampa back in October, and they had to follow me. I'm not sure it was as hard, but it was a good time. It's a little boomy up here on the guitar. I have some EQ on the guitar. Tell me if you need anything. How's that? That's better. Thanks. Maybe if you could turn it up just a bit in the monitors. That sounded pretty good. In the long history of Florida, let's go back 12,000 years, when the land was roamed by mastodons, mammoths and short-faced bears. The sea was 100 feet lower then, the coast 70 miles further out. Survival depended on finding fresh water for the first few people coming south. And the Ocala River flowed under the ground in its own world of limestone and sand. You could almost believe it was hiding from human hands. The horses and the camels and the bisons moved on. The saber-toothed cats all died, along with the glyptodonts and the giant toad sloth, when the first few people arrived. For the only fresh water was in limestone holes and ravines down in the ground. And the human beings with their sharp-tipped spears were always hanging around. And the Ocala River flowed under the ground in its own world of limestone and sand. You could almost believe it was hiding from human hands. The land grew warmer, the water rose, the ice age came to an end. Rivers flowed over the limestone holes, warm was the winter rain. Everything that survived adapted, the river of grass was born. Mosquitoes and gators found it to be an excellent hunting ground. 12,000 years later, and what have we learned? The saber-toothed cats all gone, blue herons Indians, chameleons, and plastic flamingos are drinking at the country club pond. Development harvests the river of grass to build more suburban homes. Whole species of life are dying of thirst as we water our beautiful lawns. In the Ocala River flows under the ground in its own world of limestone and sand. You can almost believe it's hiding, hiding from human hands. And the Ocala River flows under the ground in its own world of limestone and sand. You can almost believe it's hiding, hiding from human hands.
Thank you. Well, I think I can take these sunglasses off, probably, huh? What do you think? There you are. This is a song from my CD Recognition that came out this past year. I play a lot down in Palm Beach County at a lot of the local clubs. It beats touring all the time. Allows me to have a life. But I get home late at night a lot. And I drive 30 miles of I-95 at closing time a lot of the times. So I get home with a lot on my mind. And that's when I write songs. So this is one of those late night songs. And just imagine that it's late. Sleep beside me here in this quiet night. Do you ever wonder how you first came in sight? The bells of the cathedral were dying in the wind. You looked at me and smiled across your crowd of friends, and I felt a recognition, not of someone from the past, but of a true beauty that was meant to last. And I wanted to speak to you, or even say your name and get it right. You who sleep beside me here in this quiet night. You who sleep beside me here in this quiet life. Do you ever wonder how you became my wife? The room was lit by just a candle over by the bed. You walked across the room, smiled and turned your head, and I felt a recognition, not a from another time, but of the meaning of the words, will you be mine? And I wanted to hold you safe from every sorrow or strife. You who sleep beside me here in this quiet life. Now you who sleep beside me here in this quiet place, do you ever wonder at the futures we face? At the sound of thunder, I look for shelter for two, and I walk through this world knowing I'll come to rest with you. And I feel a recognition, not a habit or right or wrong, but a feeling of arriving at the place where I belong. And I whisper I love you and leave you in your own state of grace. You who sleep beside me here in this quiet place. beside me here in this quiet night.
Thank you. You guys like that song, okay? You know, the guitar is very dull up here. It's very bassy, and the vocal sounds really great on the stage. I have no idea what it's like out there, but it sounds great here. So if we could get the guitar a little brighter, it'd be nice. I don't know if it's this dull out there. It's a little dull. Here's one you can join me on if you would. Let me tell you why I love America. It's a place where a guy can rise so high. I started out with nothing but my brains and some muscles, and now I'm reaching right up to the sky. Hey, look at me, I'm the governor of California. They say I've no experience, but they'll see. In my last picture, I saved the world from aliens. How hard can a simple budget be? Everybody wanted to be governor of California. That's why I'm honored the voters elected me. All I had was friends and $30 million. And the network showing my movies every night on TV. Hey, look at me, I'm the governor of California. They say I've no experience, but they'll see. In my last picture, I saved the world from aliens. How hard can a simple budget be? Well, some people say I'm no friend of women, just because I groped a few along the way. That's why I brought my wife here to say a few words. Not like that one in Total Recall that I had to blow away. Hey, look at me, I'm the governor of California. They say I've no experience, but they'll see. In my last picture, I saved the world from Miami. How hard can a simple budget be? Well, here's my program to deal with all those taxes, those budget deficits and blackouts and stuff. Since every story deserves a happy ending, I'm gonna light a big explosion and blow everything up. Hey, look at me, I'm the governor of California. They say I've no experience, but they'll see. In my last picture, I saved the world from myself. How hard can a simple budget be? Hey, now who's gonna save the world from me? You know, I started out calling that song Why I Love America. I thought that was a good title. It's been renamed The Governator by everybody who's heard it, pretty much. My wife and I live in Delray Beach. It's a great little town, actually. If they don't pave it, they're trying. My neighbors in Delray ate out on Federal Highway.
There's a waitress at Denny's who remembers. They had loud conversations, hit on all the waitresses, and they weren't very good tippers. And my neighbors in Delray drove to Miami one day and worked out on a flight simulator. Then my neighbors in Delray stole a plane bound for LA and flew it into the World Trade Center. My neighbors in Delray worked out at the gym every day, rented a condo, studied to be pilots. They had rental cars and cell phones, used the library computers in town, struck out with the girls in local night spots. But my neighbors in Delray hated the American way and lived only to die for some heaven where virgins train to serve and Allah is observed, gratefully awaiting to reward them. Love thy neighbor, the Bible says. God is great, the prophets pray. Wouldn't I love to know what God will say to my neighbors in Delray? My neighbors in Delray came from countries far away and lived here freely among us. They studied all the ways of the good old USA, thinking up ways to destroy us. But my neighbors in Delray got down on their knees to pray for the strength to leave life behind them. So my neighbors in Delray wouldn't be around to pay the price for all their victims. Love thy neighbor, the Bible says. God is great, the prophets pray. Wouldn't you love to know what God will say to my neighbors in Delray? My neighbors in Delray, well, I really couldn't say I would even recognize them. Walking through the mall or anywhere at all, I know my other neighbors all despise them. And somewhere far away, they don't care what the neighbors say, and they would only criticize me. But if my neighbors in Delray are in paradise today, it would very much surprise me. Love thy neighbor, the Bible says. God is great, the prophets pray. Don't you really know what God will say to my neighbors in Delray?
Thank you very much. I have time to do one more. That song's on my recognition CD. And some of you folks know Honest Rob. He's here with me this weekend. You know Honest Rob's motto? We stick it to the other guy and pass the savings on to you. Well, me and Rob will be up at the CD tent afterwards in a few minutes. So come on over, say hi. I spent the better part of a couple nights ago listening to the CD that was given to me in my set last year on the old marble stage, and also a CD of my set at the Tucson Folk Festival a month ago, and decided to do something with him, so I kind of edited him down a little bit, took out some of the distortion, and made some bootleg CDs. So if you catch one of us, we have some of those on us too. If that interests you, it has some of these songs on it. In fact, I think it has a lot of them. But that's not what I came here to talk about today. John said I spent a lot of years in Greenwich Village, and this is true. And one of the most fun things I did while I was there was play softball for the St. Luke's Flukes musician softball team. We lost a lot of games. But once in a while we won one. Here's a little story from the Flukes. I went down to St. Luke's Coliseum to smoke me an afternoon chunk. It was down to the very last inning, and the usual crowd was drunk. What be the score, I inquired, but that crowd so quickly turned glum, for two batters were retired, and the score was none to none. Now it looked a bad day for the home team to settle for a tie at best, with only one chance left for victory's dream, the next batter being the last. Some folks would be satisfied to have a tie on a day like this, with the sun going down in that blue sky. Some would go to their beer in bliss. Oh, but the Flukes, that's different. The coach squinted like Woody the Great, and unraveling his gnarled fingers, he sent a pinch hitter up to the plate. The umpire adjusted his spectacles. The crowd gasped as if it were one. It was Mojo, the loose joints dealer, who'd been sleeping all day in the sun. Now Mojo stepped into that batter's box. He stood there straight as a tower. He looked out through his mirrored sunglasses that hadn't been looked out through for hours. The pitcher, he reared back and he fired. Down at 45 feet sailed that ball. Mojo just stood there looking tired, and the umpire said nothing at all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pitches sailed down across that 45 feet. Mojo just hitched his britches till the count was full and complete. Now the pitcher looked in and he got the sign. He gave it his very best case. Mojo just blinked one little eye. Ball four, said the ump to first base. Well, let him go, God bless him, said that coach on down there by the base. And the next batter hit a two-bouncer like a grape for the shortstop could taste. Now Mojo, he's heading for a second. He yells out to the shortstop, hey, freeze! And that shortstop looks up for a second, and the grounder goes right through his knees. Well, he threw down his Bucky Denton model. He let out a hellacious word, something like fluke but more frontal, as Mojo starts a heading for a third.
the sideline. A dust cloud came into view. Took a right turn on the third baseline. Straight on down to home plate it blew. That ball came to a stop in the outfield. You could see all its seams at rest. Mojo, he's around in that corner. He's a putting the scoreless tie to a test. Outfielders converged on that spheroid. The catcher, he braced for his due. And into that primeval sandstorm, face first, the mojo man flew. Well, from somewhere the far side of baseball came the sound of leather on man. Both benches emptied in unison. You're out, was the voice from the sand. Well, you're crazy, the coach screamed in anguish as he tore loose his arm from its cast. But that umpire made his decision. He called this ball game over at last. Just then Mojo, he says, Mr. Umpire, now don't you be so quick to quit. Before you go calling this game over and tired, how about a look in that there catcher's mitt? Yeah, let's see the ball, was the cry of the home team. And that catcher, he stood there so tall. Ah, but soon he was looking so sheepish, 'cause that glove was holding nothing at all. Well, now they searched for that ball in the backstop. They inquired a sidewalk passersby. They even looked over in Hoboken, Casey crossed the river on the fly. They put old Mojo up on their shoulders. They made him king for a day. They took him to the barroom and they said, hey, Mojo man, how you make that ball disappear like a jay? Well, Mojo, he says, boys, one thing I've found. If you're going to survive in the woods, when the men in blue are sniffing around, best thing to do is to just eat the goods. Well, then Mojo gets up off his bar stool. He runs into the porcelain goddess and he pukes. And he coughs up the game ball while the players look on the astonished St. Luke's flukes. Well, I'd be a crazy man, said that coach. You know I've never seen this in the game plan. And they went to that scorebook and somebody wrote, hello, flounder in the sand. Now whenever they talk about baseball, they remember that old catcher's mitt. And they say of old Mojo, he's the greatest of all. He's that flute that won't never say quit.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much.
Let's hear it again for Rod McDonald. Make sure that you go up and check out the Pfaff booth, and I bet you could find a whole fistful of CDs by Rod up there. You might even find his way up there and sign those for you, make them worth